بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا آمنا فاكتبنا مع الشاهدين. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're listening to the voice of Radio Al Ansar on 103 FM stereo, broadcasting to you live from our studios in 189 West Road, Overport. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity once again to be with you on this 27th day of Shawwal 1424. Yes, we are indeed getting closer and closer to the month of Dhul Qa'dah and inshallah Dhul Hijjah. Once again today, we are once again very fortunate. We have with us our learned scholar, our respected scholar and honored resident Mufti, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Afzal Hussain Sahib, Hafizahullah. Inshallah, once again our lines will be open for later when I do announce that's the only time that you can start calling in with your questions, and you will be able to ask your questions directly to Hazrat Maulana Mufti Afzal Hussain Sahib, Hafizahullah. Over the past few weeks, we have been discussing Hajj, Umrah. Many aspects of the Hajj Mufti Sahib has covered already. And inshallah today, if there is any more questions, especially for the Hujjaj or for those that are going for Hajj, please you may call in with your questions. So when you do go for Hajj, inshallah, you should not have any doubts in your mind. Also, towards the end of our program, we will be linking up, we'll be joined by our brother Zainul Abideen Ali, who is the producer and presenter of the Tazkiyah program. That is going to be a minute or two before the Azan for Salatul Maghrib, and inshallah we will be speaking to him. But right now, we request you also to remember brother Zainul Abideen Ali in your du'as, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him shifa and all those that are ill. To begin with this evening's program, we are going to request to Hazrat Maulana Mufti Afzal Hussain Sahib, Hafizahullah, to speak to us, to give us a simple translation of the Rabbana, which I had recited from Surah Ma'idah, ayah number 83. And then, inshallah, we will be moving on to the next aspect of Hajj or Umrah or with regard to Makkatul Mukarramah. Stay tuned, inshallah. Mufti Sahib will enlighten us with his translation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Simple translation would be that our Rabb, we believe, meaning Rabbana Amanna, and Faktubna Ma'ashayideen, thus write us, list us with those who witness, bear witness to the Haqq. Here the word Amanna does not refer to the Ahl Kitab's past Iman, but it refers to their pre-Iman of the present and being included amongst the group of believers. The word Rabbana clarifies that they are bringing the true Iman and not the superficial Iman like the hypocrites, Munafiqeen. And by the word Shahideen, the Ummat of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is meant. Those who will give testimony regarding the conveyance of the message of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yeah, I would like to just mention something about the word Amanna, that we believe. Now a person has to be classified as a Muslim when he believes in many things. In order to be a Muslim, a person believes in many things. And that will include everything which Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated us to believe in. And we Muslims are those who yukminuna bil ghaib. We believe in the unseen. Allah Ta'ala we have not seen, we believe. In fact, we have not seen Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we believe. Jannat, Jahannam, Azab-e-Kabar, punishment in the grave. And the comfort in Jannat, the punishment in Jahannam. Pulsirat, Malaika, Jinnat. All this we believe. Why? Because Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us that we have to believe in it. In order to believe, we have to believe in many points and cardinals of faith. But in order to remain a Muslim, we have to maintain that belief and remain in that circle to be classified as Muslims. But in order to leave that circle, it is very easy. In order to leave the circle, it is very, very easy. A person, he can say that, listen, I make salat, I face Makkatul Mukarrama, I'm from the Ahle Qibla, and I make my salat. A person, he can be looking like a Muslim, having a beard, fully fledged beard, having a turban over his head, having a kurta, having it above the ankles, making five times salat, standing up for tahajjud, weeping, crying, and giving dynamic speeches in Islam. But if that fellow, he disbelieves in one of the basic cardinals of faith, then he leaves the fold of Islam. If that fellow says that, no, Quran is sufficient for me, I don't have to believe in the hadith, goes out of the fold of Islam. If that fellow says, Quran is sufficient for me, I don't believe in Sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he goes out of the fold of Islam. If that fellow says that, no, there is no such thing as Azab-e-Kabr, punishment in the grave, he goes out of the fold. If that fellow says that, no, Tawheed is sufficient, I only believe in Tawheed, Risalat of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I don't believe it. If he says that, he goes out of the fold of Islam. And reverse, if he says, I only believe in the Risalat of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but I don't believe in Tawheed, he also goes out of the fold. Because Risalat points to Tawheed and Tawheed points to Risalat. Another thing is, understand carefully the definition of Islam and those who accept Islam. Those of us who have accepted Islam, we generally say Islam means to submit. You ask any person, what does Islam mean? He says to submit. Now understand what Islam means. Islam means to submit to the truth. Because whatever Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought for us is the haq. So we Muslims, we submit to the truth which Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought to us, and everything which Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought for us, that is the truth. So as Muslims, we don't submit, but we submit to the truth. The kafir also submits, in a way, to takdir. But he is not willing. We Muslims, we submit willingly, voluntarily, purposefully, happily, with pleasure, to the truth brought by Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So, that is a little bit about Amanna. Later on, I think when this word comes again, I would like to mention how we get our belief structure in Islam. But I just want to mention something about Shahideen, that on the Day of Judgment, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he will intercede. That is called Shafat Kubra, the major intercession. On the major intercession, which is recorded in the Hadith Kitabs, then the Anbiya alayhi salam's, the followers of the Anbiya alayhi salam who rejected their messages respectively, they will say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Nabis did not bring the message to us. So those Nabis will say, those Anbiya will say, no, we conveyed the message. Allah ta'ala will say, where's your proof? Where's your proof? So they will say that the proof is the ummah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, comes in the hadith, and the ummah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we will become witnesses for the Anbiya alayhi salam on the day of judgment. This is the meaning of Shahideen, that we'll become witnesses for the Anbiya alayhi salam, that they conveyed the message of Tawheed and Risalat and Akhirat to their various people respectively. We will be questioned, how do you know? How do you know that those Anbiya conveyed the message? It will be stated that our Nabi told us, and he told us, and we have learned it from the Quran al-Kareem, that the various Anbiya alayhi salam, they conveyed truthfully, faithfully, diligently, without any flaw or failure, their message to the various nations. Unfortunately, these days there is another pernicious teaching floating around, that Anbiya alayhi salam, and some even go to the extent, mazallah, and say even Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam failed in his mission or failed in his duty in conveying the message of Islam to the Sahaba Ikram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajmain. And they say this openly, some of them. And these are pure, wholesome kafirs who say statements against beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah.
You have been listening to the voice of Hazrat Maulana Mufti Afzal Hussain Sahib Hafizahullah, who had given us a simple translation of that Bob Banner and also an explanation. Alhamdulillah, this evening's program has been sponsored by Al-Imdad Foundation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them barakah. Approximately 6:17. And once again, we'd like to remind you, the listener, inshallah, in the next approximately 5 minutes' time, our lines are going to be open. Then only you may call us on 208-1661. And if you're out of the Durban area, then as you know, the area code is 031. And for our international listeners who have just joined us, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And if you have any questions, you could SMS me on 082-354-9412. And also to our listeners who do not have a landline. Alhamdulillah, as I mentioned earlier, Mufti Saab has been explaining to us many different aspects of the Hajj and the Umrah, or the sacred places, where we had started off with Madinatul Munawwara, and right now we are in Makkatul Mukarramah. Today Mufti Saad is going to be telling us why we run between the two green lights. Am I correct with that, Mufti Saad?
Yes, inshallah.
Bismillah, Mufti Saad.
First of all, just to locate where the two green lights are, the two green lights between Safa and Marwa. When a person goes from Safa and he goes for about 10-15 meters, then on the sides you will notice there is some fluorescent tubes, green in color. And you will have to, as a male, move a little bit faster. Now this moving a little bit faster, you will do, the males will do it only, not the females. However, that you will do it when you're in Ihram, and obviously if you are not in Ihram, generally after the proceedings of Hajj, when you came from Muzdalifah, you pelted the shaitan, Ramiya Chamarat, then you made Qurbani, the Dhamme Shukar, then you made Halak, now you're in civilian clothing, but you made Tawaf Ziyarah. From Tawaf Ziyarah, part of it is the Safa Marwa. So that one you will be making in civilian clothing. What happens if it is congested? If it is congested, the swift movement or the extra pace movement between those two lights, that lapses. That lapses automatically because it is congested, and Allah Ta'ala has given us a very simple, easy, beautiful deed. So you do not have to do it. There is no dhamma. What happens even if it's not congested, a person forgot about it, mistakenly forgot about it, and when he passed the second green light, then he realized, oh, I supposed to have gone a little faster here. By little faster we mean a little bit faster, not a 100 meter dash. Then too, if you have forgotten, no dhamma involved. The ladies obviously do not have to move swiftly between those two lights. Do not have to go a little bit faster between those two lights. And you will notice, unfortunately, certain ladies, they start running there, and they even push you out sometimes. That is not according to any mazhab they're supposed to be running there. However, the reason for running a little bit faster in between those two green lights. If we now pay attention and may focus a little bit, how we can focus is that first of all we have got Safa, then about maybe 384 meters away we have got Marwa. Now take out all the buildings and let us go back thousands of years during the time of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he had left his wife Hajra radiallahu ta'ala anha and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. He left them near the Kaaba and proceeded for Dawat and Tabligh and on the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, moving away towards the way today is Chapra Market, Chapra Bazaar, and towards the Gaza section, and he's going to go away there towards Egypt and Syria. That area is going to go. Egypt at least. Then, sooner or later, the food ran out, water ran out. So, Hazrat Hajira radiallahu ta'ala adha, she came to the hillock Safa. Hillock meaning that a small hill. When she came there, she's looking for water. She can climb there and she can try to look for water. She can try to look for some provision. Now, during that time, Safa and Marwa, Marwa is the next hillock. But in between Safa and Marwa, there was like a valley. There was like a dip. There was like a dip. And when she was going down the dip, she cannot see her son. She cannot see her son, Ismail, alayhi salam. When she is in that valley, imagine she is running from Safa. She is moving from Safa. She comes down the valley now. Another a valley. When she is in that valley, she cannot see her son. So obviously, when she descends that valley, and she runs in that valley, and she climbs up, she is running faster. Because she cannot see the fate of her son, the condition of her son, whom she has left near the Maqam Ibrahim, just behind the Maqam, just in front of the Maqam Ibrahim, in that area she has left Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. So when she goes to Marwa, then obviously she's coming back. All the time she can see, she's got her eye on her son. But when she comes again to that valley, when she goes down that valley, she cannot see her son again. She's going to run. When she runs, so she has to go down and up again, and then go towards Safa. Doing this, now we get something that during the two runnings from Safa to Marwa, Marwa to Safa, then where that valley was, they have put two green lights now to denote that this was the where the that valley was in between Safa and Marwa. And this was the place where Hazrat Hajira was running a little bit faster. And it is also mustahab that when you're running between that Safa and Marwa, between those two green lights, you must look towards the well of Zamzam. You must look. Why? Because she was doing that. She was worried. And it is mustahab, preferable like to do that. Another thing, that we say that where the green light is, a few yards before that, you should start your pace, a little increase your pace. And you should terminate not at the next green light, but a few yards away from that. Why? Because when they put these green lights, they have constructed the valley like a box. Whereas you and I know that a valley is not like a box, but the top ends of the valley, they are wider, and the bottom end of the valley is narrower. So the top end, they have taken the bottom end and measured it. The top end is wider, therefore you should increase a little bit before your distance, a little bit before the first green light, and then go on till the second green light, a little bit more, and then terminate. For Masla, What to recite between Safa and Marwa? They ask about recommended du'as, all are masroon. If you don't recite that, you can recite third kalima. If you don't recite that, any Rabbana, if you don't recite that, any du'a that is permissible. Du'a is accepted when you're in Safa, at Safa, at Marwa. It is also recommended that when you're at Safa, you can turn and look towards Kaaba and make du'a. Or when you're at Marwa, you look towards Kaaba and direction of Kaaba and make du'a. However, when it is congested, that the movement takes you around that place. So when it is taking you around, while they are moving you around, you can make your dua respectively. Make dua, Allah Ta'ala accepts all our duas and all the Haji's duas when he goes down there.
Jazakallah for that. Mufti Saab, while we are waiting for our callers, there's one question that has come up. While drinking Zamzam water, do you have to be standing and facing the Qibla while you're drinking that water? And also the next question is, that Zamzam water, when it's out of Makkah al-Mukarramah, do you still face the Qibla if it's in South Africa? What is the procedure, Mufti Saab, on this?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I will discuss that Zamzam issue and also about facing Qibla whilst in Haram. Facing Qibla whilst in Haram. So let's start with the first one.
Okay.
Concerning the Zamzam itself, that first of all, it is stated in Hadith that whatever dua you make while drinking Zamzam, it is accepted. So besides the masroon dua, that Allahumma inni asaluka ilman nafiya and rizqal halalan tayyiban and wa shifa min kulli da, that Allah Ta'ala grant a person beneficial knowledge, grant him wide provision, a good provision, and also grant him cure from all ailments, a person can make any other dua he wants to. So the person should, when he is in the haram and he's looking at the Kaaba, he can see the Kaaba. When the person can see the Kaaba, then it is masnoon that you stand and you drink the Zamzam water. If you are in the haram is very, very big. If you are in the haram of Makkah al-Mukarramah and you cannot see the Kaaba, then it is not necessary to stand and drink the Zamzam. You may sit down and drink the Zamzam. Now, when we say stand, obviously a person who is incapacitated, these laws are not going to apply. The person can obviously sit and drink the Zamzam. Another point about Zamzam is that a person who's got nifaq, he generally cannot drink too much Zamzam. So you should try to drink as much as Zamzam as possible. Also, that it is permissible to use it for wuzu. You can pour it over your body also. And you should not degrade or belittle Zamzam. I personally have heard one person one day in Makkah al-Mukarramah. He said that I'm going to drink American cola, American Zamzam at least. So I told him what? He said, no, I'm going to drink the American drink. I said, why don't you drink Zamzam? He said, no, I'm tired of Zamzam. And I have never seen that person back into Makkah al-Mukarramah. However, that if you have taken Zamzam away, now you have taken it to Medina, you have taken it to your home, etc. If you are drinking Zamzam in your house, then if you want to stand up, alhamdulillah, you can stand up, no problem. But remember, it is not farz, wajib, sunnah to do so. If you want to face Qibla, you can do so out of respect. This will be ethics, mannerism. But not farz, not wajib, not sunnah. So, if you want to do that, alhamdulillah. If a person in that majlis was presented with Zamzam and does not stand and drink the Zamzam or face the Qibla, don't look down upon the person because it is not farz, it is not wajib, it is not sunnah to do so. It may be classified most as part of ethics of Zamzam, but not an essential issue. Can I explain the Qibla one or you have to take a call?
I think let's just take this call, Mufti Saab, inshallah. I think we have Brother Ismail online. Brother Ismail, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu, I just got a few questions on Salah, please.
Yes, you can go ahead, brother. Is your radio turned down?
Sorry? Is my radio.
Okay, go ahead, brother.
Okay. Number one, is it permissible for us to read namaz in short sleeves? And what is the Sharia say about folded hands when we read namaz?
Okay.
Number first question.
What's this, sir?
Could you repeat that question,
brother?
What does the Sharia say about reading namaz with short sleeve and folded hands? That's the first question.
What you call short sleeves?
Short sleeves. Can we read namaz with short sleeves?
Yeah, okay, folded pants.
And do we have to fold our pants or?
Okay. What's your next question, bro?
The next question is when we make ghusl, right?
Yeah.
And after we make ghusl, when we're going to read namaz or going to touch the Quran, do we have to make wuzu again, or the wuzu is covered in the ghusl?
Okay. Next question.
And if assume we join the Isha Salah after the first two rakat that we missed, right?
You missed first two.
We missed the first two with the Qirat and the Surah Fatiha.
Yes.
We joined the congregation
in the third
two.
Yes.
Must we read our Surah Fatiha when we cover up the last two and the Qirat again?
Okay, I'll teach you how to complete it, okay?
Okay.
Right.
And the other one...
That means your fifth question.
Yeah. For Qaza namaz, must we read all the rakat or just the Fard?
Qaza, wait, hold on. Only Fard. Or what? Okay, carry on.
Okay, and the last one, is there any namaz that there's no Qaza for?
No, Qaza... Wait, which one got no Qaza
for? Yeah, which one, yeah.
Okay. You'll test the Mufti.
Okay, JazakAllah, brother.
Yes.
To our listeners, please, we request you that when you do call in, just one question, we'd like to give everyone an opportunity. We have already Sister Zora that's waiting online. Mufti Sam?
We've got six questions.
Okay, Mufti Sam, I think we can just take one question from there and then we go to Sister Zora as our sister is waiting for some time.
Okay, let's do quickly the short sleeve one.
Okay.
To read Salat, imagine a person. For example, he's going to go to the courtroom. And prior to go to the courtroom, then in the night he stands before the mirror, he dresses up, he wants to look presentable, and he wants to look nice, and then he goes to courtroom. Yeah, you're going to the Supreme of Supreme Courts. You're going to the King of King Courts. And you're going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you should dress properly. And that... The etiquette of namaz is that you should be having the sleeve complete. Now there is a hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which states that when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was making sijda, then the inner portions of his armpits were visible. So those people who say that you can read salat with short sleeves, they quote this hadith. However, we must realize something. That first of all, number one, Ihram is the daily clothing of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. That is why we keep Ihram. Secondly, many times Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both in Mecca and in Medina, should utilize the garb of Ihram in his daily out of humility, simplicity, and showing to the public that listen how simple Islam is. And also, alhamdulillah, because it was in emulation to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. So it proves no hujjat or no proof that we have to have short sleeves. Yes, it is part of salat that you have to have long sleeve and present ourselves ethically with full mannerism, dressed properly in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ji.
Okay, shukran for that, Mufti Sahib. I think we will take Sister Zora's call. Sister Zora, assalamu alaikum. Sister Shukran for waiting online, being patient. Mufti Sahib is listening to your question. Go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum, Mufti
Sahib.
Is it true that when a person is in Ihram and dies in either Mina, Muzdalifa or Arafat, then that person is buried in Ihram? I'll listen to your response on air.
Okay, JazakAllah, Sister. Mufti Sahib, your response to that?
One thing I would like to state that to the first question that we went through, that if a person makes salat with short sleeves, it is definitely makruh. It is definitely detested. According to most scholars, that it is highly detested to perform your salat with short sleeves. The person in Ihram passes away there, it is the general practice of burying the person in the state of Ihram. However, another great advantage is that from that time, till the day of Qiyamah. Every time there is Hajj, that person who passes away in the state of Ihram gets a reward for Hajj. Second reward is that on the day of judgment, that the person will be getting up reciting Labbaik. That person who passes away in the state of Ihram. And can we go to the second question?
I think we can move on to the second one while we're waiting for our callers. The number to dial is 208-1661. If you'd like to SMS, it's 082-354-9412. Inshallah, after Mufti Saab answers the next question, then we'll go for a commercial break.
As far as the folded pants is concerned, that this folding of pants, that shows that a person is doing it because his trousers was below the ankles. Now, when a person has got his trousers below the ankles, that in itself is a sin. In fact, that sin of trousers below the ankles is such a sin that the person wearing such a trouser below the ankle is carrying that sin all over, all around. And only Salat time he picks his trousers up and folds it up above the ankles. So we unfortunately have become fold up Muslims. That when we go to the masjid, we fold the trousers, and when we come out of the masjid, then we let it loose, and unfortunately are in sin. There are enough hadiths concerning that these trousers are supposed to be above the ankles. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated that which is below the ankles is in the fire. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated that the wearing of trousers below the ankles is a sign of pride. Now a person cannot say that, no, I got no pride. When the Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated that that is a sign of pride, then we will definitely say that it is a sign of pride, and we will leave it at that, because what he says is definitely, surely, 100% correct, valid, and he has said it because he is one divinely inspired from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Saab. We have, before we take the call from Brother Abdullah, inshallah, we'll go for a commercial break, and as soon as we back from that, then Brother Abdullah, inshallah, you could ask your question to our learned scholar. Stay tuned.
Palestine. Poverty. Death and destruction. The humanitarian crisis in Palestine is deepening. In the last few... Medbank. Rafiq Wahid on 082-392-8786. This project...
Convenience, we are open this Saturday. And family faith from
Alhamdulillah, sir, brother.
Alhamdulillah. How are you, Mufti Saab?
Alhamdulillah.
Mufti Saab, I just want.
May Allah give us that invitation to come to the cities of Makkah al Mukarram and inshallah Medina al Munawwara. Right now, we would like to take the call from Brother Abdullah. Brother Abdullah, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, sir, brother.
Alhamdulillah. How are you, Mufti Saab?
Alhamdulillah.
Mufti Saab, I have just one question.
Yes.
With regards to the Jummah at the fair, is this permissible in Shariat, or what is the ruling on Shariat on that?
What problem you got with it?
No, I'm ignorant of the Shariat, if you can tell me.
No, obviously you got a problem, that's why you asked the question.
Yes?
You got some problem with it, that's why you asked the question. What problem, so I can address it for you?
Oh, okay. Firstly, we have masajid around.
Yeah.
So, won't it be more convenient for us to go to the masjid rather than to the souk?
Hmm. Oh, so that's your problem?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. It is permissible to go to the souk's Jummah and to attend it. The slight difficulty which crosses my mind, which I'll have to be discussing with the authorities, is during the time of Jummah, then they should not be charging anybody to come to the Jummah. I just hope the board is listening to what I'm saying, that during the time of Jummah, they should regard it as izn-e-am. Anybody, any Muslim, must be able to access the area of Jummah without pain and getting inside and going to attend the Jummah Salat. Now, it will be just classified like a Jamaat Khana, having a Jummah Salat in that area. Or, for example, a Jamaat Khana of a university, or a Jamaat Khana of a hospital, or a Jamaat Khana in a particular street, or a Jamaat Khana in a shopping complex. So that will come under, the souk will come under that order.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. Also to our listeners, I had announced earlier on that Mufti Sahib is going to be speaking at the souk. My apologies, there was some misunderstanding. Unfortunately, Mufti Sahib will not be able to be delivering the talk at the expo or for Salatul Jumu'ah. But inshallah, Qari Muhammad Saad Qazi will be performing the khutbah or delivering the khutbah, the salah, and also we intend to have a qira'ah program. So once again, that announcement was made by myself, and I truly need to apologize to Mufti Sahib for that first, and also to the listeners for that misunderstanding. Mufti Sahib, moving on to that next question that Mufti Sahib has there.
The person made ghusl, and then he or she, after ghusl, wants to go directly and read Quran al-Kareem. Obviously, when the ghusl, remember ghusl definition is an Islamic method of taking a bath to attain purity. So this is, ghusl is not a Western bath, but is an Islamic method of bathing, so that one attains purity from, if it was wajib, from major impurities. Now when a person has done that and has attained purity from major impurities, obviously the person has made the wuzu, and he can go directly and hold Quran al-Kareem and recite Quran al-Kareem, because the wuzu that was made in the ghusl, that is valid. Another thing is that certain people, obviously when they start their ghusl, etc., either at the beginning or in the middle, they make a wuzu in that ghusl. So at the end, do they have to make another wuzu? No, they do not have to make another wuzu. If they do it, no problem. But it is not necessary for the validity of ghusl. And these days, because the water is constantly flowing away. Yes, if the water was not constantly flowing away, then it could have been better to make another wuzu at the end. The next question is, a person, he went for Isha Salat, performed the first two rakats, came in at the third rakat. So now that person came in at the third rakat, obviously he has recited Surah Fatiha. Then he has recited fourth rakat, Surah Fatiha. But when he joined the third rakat, it's called the Masbuk, it was his first rakat. And the fourth rakat was his second rakat. So you got Surah Fatiha, he read in his first, and Surah Fatiha in his second. When the Imam gave salam, the person stood up, the Masbuk. Now he will read. He will read his Sana, he will read his Ta'awuz, he will read his Bismillah. And then he will read Surah Fatiha with Surah. That is his third rakat. Then he will go and perform the Ruku, Sujood, etc., come for his fourth. At the fourth, the person will read Surah Fatiha and Surah. Now that will be fourth rakat. After that, he will read, after the sujood, the attahiyyat, the durood, the Ibrahim, and the dua, and conclude the salat. That is the method.
Mufti Sahib, just one point, if I may ask Mufti Sahib to explain. The latecomer or the masbuk, when does he have to stand up to complete his number of rakats? Is it that as soon as he hears the Imam saying the words Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, or does he have to wait for that to be completed to the right, then he stands up? What is the procedure, Mufti Sahib?
You will find both opinions expressed in works of classical works. One is that when the Imam has given the first salam, then he should stand. One is that the Imam must give both the salams. Cautious wise, it is better that he waits for the second salam. But if you look at it logically, technically, then obviously when you are sitting for attahiyyat, if there was going to be a sijda, so then he says the sahu is going to be after attahiyat. Now when you have finished attahiyat and you remain silent, now the masbuk after attahiyat remains silent because the imam now is going to continue after attahiyat the durud Ibrahim. So the person knows the imam is reading durud Ibrahim and the dua. After that, when the imam gives the salam, the masbuk knows that there is no sijda sahu now, so he can stand up and complete the salat as we have stated. The qaza salat, when a person is making qaza, then he makes qaza of faraz. Understand the usul, there is qaza of faraz and wajib, not of any other. There is qaza of faraz and wajib. Only in one case there is qaza of sunnah, when you have missed the fajr and you making the qaza of fajr before zawal, then you make the qaza of the two rakats of sunnah, then you make the qaza of the two rakats fajr faraz. But if you have to make after zawal the qaza of fajr, then you make only of the fajr, not of the two sunnah. However, the rule I have explained, there is qaza of faraz and wajib. If you waste your witr, you will make qaza of it.
Okay, sir, we do have a call online. If we could come back to that, inshallah. Sister Aisha, assalamu alaikum.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam, sister. You may go ahead with your question for Mufti sahab.
Mufti sahab, mujhe ye hai ki main jab ghusl karti hu to pehle niyat kar leti hu wuzu ki aur ghusl ki aur uske baad main naha leti hu to wuzu ghusl ho jata hai, wuzu ho jata hai ya tut jata hai, mujhe puchna hai wo.
Ghusl ho jata hai
ya tut jata hai?
Nahi, wuzu ghusl aur wuzu ho jata hai.
میں پہلے کر لیتی ہوں غسل, پہلے وضو کی نیت کر لیتی ہوں, غسل کی نیت کر لیتی ہوں, اس کے بعد میں غسل کرتی ہوں.
کوئی حرج نہیں, کوئی پریشانی نہیں, کوئی حرج نہیں.
وضو نہیں ٹوٹ جائے گا؟
نہیں.
ننگے بدن سے میں نہاتی ہوں تو وضو رہتا ہے؟
جی.
تو کیوں, میں ہمیشہ مجھے عادت ہے, میں جب غسل کرنے کا وقت ہوتا ہے تو میں پہلے نیت کر لیتی ہوں, نہا کر پھر وضو بھی ساتھ ساتھ کر کر نکل جاتی ہوں. تو مجھے پوچھنا تھا کہ میرا وضو رہتا ہے یا ٹوٹ جاتا ہے؟
میں نے کہا کہ وضو بحال ہے اور غسل بحال ہے. ٹھیک ہے, کوئی پریشانی نہیں.
So, jazakallah to sister Aisha for that question. Mufti sahab, moving on to
the brother asked one question about qaza.
Okay.
And he said, is there any salat which has got no qaza? Then just this question here we ask to our students sometimes, and you ask them to see or test their pick their brains, that which are those salats where there is no qaza. And generally, inshallah, students who are bright, they get it right. The Juma salat has got no qaza. As per Juma, you can make your Zuhur salat. Once you miss your janaza salat, there is no like official qaza for that. You can once you miss the qaza salat and janaza, it's over. That is why that the for janaza salat and for juma salat, tayammum is also permissible. If you are so late that if you could make wuzu, then the janaza salat will be missed. So you make tayammum and you join the janaza salat. Also that applies to Juma salat. Fortunately we have got some very very big scholars also coming in, walking into.
Alhamdulillah. We are indeed honored for that. Alhamdulillah, this evening's program has been sponsored by Al Imdad Foundation. Approximately 6:55. Inshallah, in a few minutes, in 2 or 3 minutes' time, we are going to be linking up with the producer and presenter of the Tazkiyah program, Brother Zainul Abidin Ali. And alhamdulillah, we have received news that Brother Zainul Abidin Ali is now at home. Inshallah, we will be talking to him in about 2 minutes. Right now, Mufti Sahib, just on that point of that sunnah salah for Fajr, if one goes to the masjid and if you are late, the imam is already into the second rakat and you joined the imam, and obviously after the Farz Salah there is time, can you read your 2 Sunnah after the Farz Salah, knowing that there is time still before sunrise?
First of all, let's take it from the starting, that it is good to make your sunnat salat prior to going to the masjid. And some person told me, but we are trying to check this, they said there is a hadith in Tibrani. Tibrani is not a name of any spice kitab, but it's a name of a hadith kitab. Tibrani, that if you make your sunnat, that the Fajr sunnat at home and go to the masjid, then one of the rewards is that your wife will like you more. And other reward is that Allah Ta'ala will make sustenance for that day easier. Third one is Allah Ta'ala will make your khatima bil khair. Fourth reward is that Allah Ta'ala will fill your qabr with nur when you die. So, but we're trying to look for that hadith. Nevertheless, that should be a good practice to make your sunnat salat at home. Obviously, when you make wuzu and go to the masjid, for every step you take, you'll get rewarded, and you'll get the reward of making umrah by the time you reach the masjid. So you enter there, the Imam Sahib has already started the Fajr Faraz, and you haven't made your sunnat in this case, then you estimate. If I make my sunnat, I'll miss the salat. Then you join the salat. And then when the sun rises, you can make your qaza of your sunnah. If you go by car, alhamdulillah, no problem. You can go by car or by train, by helicopter, anything. You can go how you want to go, by lift or by club or anything, and go away to the masjid. Every time that wheel turns, it's like one step taken. Every time that wheel makes one circle, then you get like one step being taken towards the masjid. So you can go anyhow to the masjid.
JazakAllah for that. Alhamdulillah. Right now we are going to be joined by Brother Zainul Abidin Ali, the producer and presenter of the Tazkiyah program. Brother Zainul Abidin Ali, assalamu alaikum and welcome to our program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hafiz Wali, how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, brother, how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be thanked for giving me enough courage to bear my pain and my malady at the moment. Inshallah, make dua that, you know, I am going tomorrow for another opinion to the hospital, and inshallah ta'ala that the opinion comes out that I do not have to have surgery or whatever it is.
Inshallah, brother, we are all making lots of dua for you, and especially our listeners have been calling on a daily basis, and when we heard that you're at home, we were very, very pleased. And Brother Zainul Abidin, Mufti Sahib is also right here with me in the studio. I'm sure Mufti Sahib would like to have a word with you.
Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahib. Kis tarah aap?
Alhamdulillah. And what you call, I'm still like your adjectives when you start your program. You want to say it again?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Radio Al Ansar ki sureli aur sunheri awaaz 103 فامی مستیریو سے نشر ہو رہی ہے. میں ہوں آپ کا ساتھی زین العابدین علی. میرے معزز دوستو, میرے پیارے پیارے چاہنے والوں, تم پر میرا دل ہی دعا اور لاکھوں سلام. میرا دل سمندر کی طرح فخر اور غم سے بھرا ہوا ہے تاکہ میں اس سال آپ کا خدمت کر نہ سکا, لیکن اللہ سبحانہ تعالی اور ان کے پیارے حبیب محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے نہیں چاہا کہ میں اس سال شریک لوں آپ کے سامنے. اس مجھے معاف کیجئے گا اس کے لیے. انشاءاللہ تعالی I hope and pray that all the listeners, I just want to thank them from the very depths of my heart for all the sincere duas that they have been making, and for all the wonderful people that have been coming to the hospital just to console me and to visit me and to make salams and to make dua for me. I really appreciate this, and I cannot express this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless each and every one of them for that. I really am touched by that.
The introductory statements you made, I want to know, someday I'll have to analyze it and dissect it, whether it was in Farsi or Arabic or Inshallah. We make a lot of dua. Allah Ta'ala grant you a lot of himmat.
Inshallah.
Grant you shifa'i kamila, ajila, mustamira.
Inshallah.
And Allah Ta'ala take a lot of work from you.
Ameen.
And Allah Ta'ala let a lot of people benefit from your words.
Inshallah. Mufti Sahib, I must say I like the choice of your adjectives there when you talk of dissecting and cutting. I hope they're not going to dissect me and cut me
out. Inshallah. Okay, inshallah.
Jazakallah.
Brother Zainul Abidin, Brother Zain would like you to always remember that we are always making dua for you, and I'm sure all the listeners are very, very pleased to hear your voice this evening. And inshallah, we are making dua shifa that inshallah when you do go tomorrow, you will, may Allah make it easy for you.
Inshallah. And also let the listeners know that I appreciate this opportunity of talking to them for these few seconds. And just to let them know that, you know, although I am in excruciating pain, but just the thought of knowing that I've got this, you know, the sincere duas of people out there like yourselves, alhamdulillah, that makes it so much easier for me to bear. Allah makes it easy, inshallah.
Inshallah, may Allah make it easier. Okay, brother, inshallah, we'd like to thank you, and inshallah, we will speak to you soon.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Brother Zainul Abidin Ali, one of the senior presenters of Radio Al Ansar Tazkiya program, also one of the senior science and maths teachers from the Al Falah College. Once again, Mufti Sahib, we'd like to thank you very, very much for coming into our studios, and inshallah, we'll be looking forward to Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Hussein Sahib, Hafizahullah, inshallah, tomorrow evening. 702, I would like to thank Bilal Joseph, Sister Zenith, and also Rashad Fahid for assisting us this evening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Fi amanillah, ma'assalama, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran.